The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Yes, it does. Settles in your soul. Definitely settles in your soul. Morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa. I'm here with Wynn Carpenter. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good. Welcome to the continuing soiree we have here on Jefferson State of Mind.
Why, thank you.
We're here with Christina, our producer. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing good. You're smiling. You're happy today.
Yes, it's Sunday.
It is Sunday. No one can hurt you.
Of course. And actually, it's my day off. I just have one job today.
Oh, that's fantastic. You'll be able to enjoy that nice weather then.
There you go.
Here we are broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading. We're broadcasting worldwide. 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better, and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. That's KCNR1460.com. We also archive, don't we, my friend?
We do.
Forever and ever. If you have a question or a comment, the phone number here is 530-605-4567, 530-605-4567, and we are here with candidate for assembly for District 1. That is Melissa Hunt. How are you, my dear?
I'm well, thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. Now, for people who don't know you, give us a short little synopsis on your background.
A short one? Oh, my goodness. Well, I was born in Mercy Hospital, born and raised right here in Shasta County.
Because you wanted to be with your mother, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And Dad.
And Dad.
Yeah. And we lived in Igo when I was born. And at 6 years old, we moved up to Lakehead, had a campground, ran a campground as a family. Dad, of course, worked here in Reading at Reading Industrial Electric, if for you old-timers. Hmm. And, well, the old-timers that are listening, not
why were you looking at me?
Yeah. I just thought I'd correct myself.
That's normal.
And when I was 12, we moved to Cottonwood for the country way of life and loved it there. And then I moved to L.A. for college, downtown L.A. from Cottonwood, California. What a shock.
Oh.
And, yeah. And great years down there, fun years, because, you know, you're just finding your freedom as a young adult. Mm-hmm. And the country kid is still me. It's who I am. So I came home and moved to Anderson when I got here. And Coach Reed out of Anderson High School was my landlord. He had a free apartment open, and I moved there until I bought my house in Anderson as well. And I've been here ever since. I was teaching when I moved here, moved home, and now I'm a realtor, and I love this place. I don't live in Reading. I've never represented Reading as a political person, but I very much care for Reading and Shasta County. This is my home, and I love this place. There's so many memories from growing up here and everything. After I got off city council, I ended up getting appointed onto the Anderson City Council. And did I say that right? Okay. And I love... I love Anderson. I, unbeknownst to me, infiltrated the Good Old Boys Club, and now it's far from the Good Old Boys Club. It's changed to council members that really care about their community. We desire development, businesses. We totally see ourselves as being customer service focused. And we want to help people, whether it's building their home or building a business. We want to help them. We've gone through I mean, it's a wide spectrum of times. We've had the homeless camps. I was listening to the program before us today, and we've had those homeless camps. I've been in those homeless camps and cleaning out absolutely disgusting things that I won't talk about because mm-hmm. they're disgusting.
Right.
And I highly appreciate the people who do that regularly. But I will say that in Anderson, we've made some changes to where we don't necessarily have those homeless camps anymore because we have secured property. We have made property owners secure their property, I should say. And we don't let camping start. I've been out and about in the district, and there's another city who has a porta potty out for their homeless. And it's like, are you serious? Hmm. You're helping the problem persist, and that's just not the way to do it. There's other things that we have implemented, and they have been very good tools to clean up the city of Anderson.
What can we do at a state level, though? Because that's all the jurisdiction of the cities and the yes. counties. So what is it that you'd propose? Because that's a great point about the homeless. And in California, we have more homeless than everybody else in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So what would it be that you would propose with your jurisdiction as an assembly person mm-hmm. to help that?
I'm excited about all that. I know it's like she's excited about going to Sacramento. Yes, I just love that thought. And in the state of California, we have to focus on homeless. Homeless is multifaceted. There's a mental health issue. We have to face that. And California has been very good about funding programs at the county level. And they send money to the counties and fund a program, and it's great and wonderful, and it meets the need. Problem is that funding runs out, and within 2 or 3 years, the funding runs out, the program dies up, and the problem still persists. So the first thing I'm going to say that we really need is to focus that money that comes out annually, and they push it onto us. Well, then go ahead, push that money onto us, but let's get a mental health facility going. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes down to it, then first responders / public safety, when they have a mental health situation, they can take that person to, if it's a mental health situation, not a criminal situation, but they can take them to, or they can call out a representative from the mental health facility, and that person, that facility, can meet that need in the community. And then the public safety responder can take care of the criminal element and take them to the jail at that situation.
On the facility itself, though, again, it goes back to the state. Now, the state could fund that, but
yes.
would you put a bill forward? Because, and I might be wrong on this, but if you want to put a facility in one county, wouldn't you have to put it in all 58? I mean, you couldn't discriminate against one or the other. So,
my position is not for Shasta County. It's for all counties.
Yeah, it's for all counties. Well, I want to explain that to the folks. So that,
absolutely.
Need
it in all counties.
And the funding, how would we get the funding for that?
Well, those are the details of Sacramento and all those little programs. Let's add them up and put them into a mental health facility. That's what adds it up. And the thing is, it dries up in 2 or 3 years, but the year before, they sent more programs. Well, all these keep on what you're doing, what they are doing with funds in Sacramento is funding a mental health facility, but they're doing it through programs that dry up. But the next year, those funds come in again, and it still, over and over again, could be funding a mental health facility.
How about this? Since you're going for a state level office,
yes,
we currently have a prison or two that are being shut down being eliminated over in Lassen County.
Okay.
Now, as a District 1 representative, where that resides, why not open that up, work with the jails that are in the counties within your jurisdiction, District 1, work with them to have funding to help offset some of that over there and demand, get out on the courthouse steps or the Capitol steps and
yes.
demand that the funding goes back to the prisons and so that we can clean this mess up. I know that they're doing it in Sacramento by design to screw us over,
yes.
but we need somebody there who's going to be a mouthpiece and get in
Absolutely.
There and scream at the top of their lungs saying, we need to refund these, get those back in there, because then we can alleviate some of our prisoners here in Shasta County specifically, yep, that are state held yes, prisoners,
yep,
that can get shipped over there.
Yep.
They're out of here. Then that leaves room for all the other elements that
right,
are going on here locally. So when our law enforcement boys are doing their work, bringing them into the jail and not getting them kicked out before the law enforcement guy walks away from the jail.
So what I said at the beginning of the conversation about homelessness is mm-hmm, that it's multifaceted. That's
right,
my second part of the three parts that mm-hmm, I have, and that is open the stinking prisons up. And one of the things that I push is common sense leadership in Sacramento. Does that exist? Not right now.
No, it hasn't for a
not
long
right
time.
Not right now, but no, it will. And I have a hope that it will, and that's a serious comment. I
no,
have
no,
a
I
hope
agree,
that it will.
I agree. I agree.
But, yes, open the stinking prisons. Open them back up and get the people that are out of the Shasta County Jail and all the other jails out. Now, I've asked sheriffs. I'm going through meeting different sheriffs throughout the district, and some people don't have that problem. Well, Anderson or Shasta County is a revolving door. We know that. And there are people in there that are sentenced to I don't know how many plus years, and they are sitting in the Shasta County jail holding up beds where mm-hmm, we could be using them.
Right.
And I'm not even going into the county level whole situation of right, opening the floor and
right,
everything.
Right, right.
But we have got to mm-hmm, open up the stinking jails. And on top of that, the stupid – well, I hate using that word, but the incompetent choices that are being made in Sacramento, example, the logging industry. You take logging industry and you're decimating some of the cities or the small towns that are in the mountains.
Right.
Susanville, you're decimating that by taking away this prison. Mm. Plus, you're screwing up the whole state of California. It is like they have been hell-bent on how can they mess this place up.
It's like it's done by design. I mean,
I
as
totally
we stand back
understand,
and look at it, it's like, why are they doing it? What's the actual right, reason?
Yeah, and think about the water. You know, when you look at the water situation,
mm-hmm,
I mean, if you're in, even if you're a legislator in Sacramento and you come from San Francisco or Los Angeles County or wherever, you've got to look at your dinner plate and understand that what you're eating there mm-hmm, is what we raise up here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And what we raise up here has to have water.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
we
where
have
water flows, food
yeah,
grows. That's
exactly.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly right. And in Siskiyou County, for example, I mean, they have a drought warning and a flood watch all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so how do you? I mean, I think when you said the word Melissa, when you said the word stupid, I think that probably is more appropriate. I know you're being kind, but these decisions are made, I think, as Wynn said, to really circumvent our liberty. I want to ask you about, you know, law enforcement. You know, as what can we do as a state to help that? Because we have such an issue with all the crazy laws that are being passed as far as, and have been passed, AB 109, 57, mm-hmm, et cetera. What would your stand be on that, and would you push forward to a referendum on some of these laws?
Well, my new favorite word is rescind. Let's get rid of that crap. And you don't get rid of the I want to say it politically correct.
You don't have to. Not on this
element,
show.
The element. How's that? How do you get rid of the element that's going on in any chosen city? You do not defund the police. In Anderson, we have given the police the tools that they need. And by golly, we've got a safe city. And we've got a city that welcomes family and people that want to raise their children in a safe place. That is all positive things. And you create tools in an environment. And I'm sorry, but I used to be – I mean, my background is education. I have a master's
yeah,
degree in education.
Yeah.
And when I saw video games first starting out – now, I'm not talking about Atari. That's what I grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, those video games that show such violence, what are you programming your kids to?
Right.
And that's what we are seeing and reaping, unfortunately, part of. It has infiltrated from children to young adults' minds. And that's why we've got people who don't know how to use that frustration. Plus, I'm going to take a step of daringness here and say, you know, women's feminism pushed back the man. The man needs to take his rightful place in the family again
mm-hmm,
and help and be a father to raising children and especially young men. Well, women too. or girls too. But that's a biblical side of me that I could totally go down as well. Boys need fathers. Mm-hmm. Boys need dads. Boys need to know how to handle. And I'm speaking as a woman. I can't just describe it because I'm not a man, but I saw a video. Oh, this is terrible to say this on. Oh, I hope my mother's not listening. She doesn't even know I'm getting ready to say this. She doesn't even know I'm on at the radio station. But I saw a video on the internet, and it was a little boy, and there was two brothers, and they were sitting in the passenger side of the seat and the back seat. And dad, who you could not see on the video, is in the seat, the driver's seat of a very powerful sports car. Don't know what it was. I don't care. But he said, okay, boys, here we go. And he puts his foot in the gas. And you can see the kids' bodies adjust to the speed. And the little boy in the front is like, oh, my gosh. And he turns to his dad and he said, I'm sorry, you guys. I really am. He said, my balls are tingling, Dad. And you know what? That is masculinity at its fullest. And a little boy is experiencing that with his dad, and he understands that. His dad understands that. That's what being a man is all about. And we've taken that away. Boy, where did I get that from
the thing is that I've listened to a lot of candidates run. And a lot of candidates bring stuff forward, but I think you're bringing stuff forward with a lot of not just passion. I kind of bothers me when people say, oh, you're so passionate about this. But what you're bringing forward is things that are really the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're absolutely right about what's going on. I mean, being a young parent these days is tough. I mean, how do you explain the facts of life to your kid? I mean, you've got the birds and the bees, the birds and the birds, the bees and the bees. Right?
You're right.
You've got the birds that are now bees and the bees that are now birds but still have a stinger.
And the only thing that can reproduce is the birds and the bees.
Yes.
That's all there is. Everything else can't reproduce. So that background of education and the master's degree in education, by golly, that stirs my stomach, and I would definitely want to go after that, rescinding all kinds of crap.
Yeah, there's a lot of laws.
And bring forth, absolutely, and bring forth, get rid of that crap, first of all, rescind it, and get rid of that curriculum that they're teaching our kids that is not, it's agenda-driven, and that is not okay. That's just not okay. This is one nation under God. Mm-hmm. We're not there. It's like, oh, this life is terrible. We're going to see the return of Jesus here pretty soon. You know what? Jesus is coming back for a bride that is spot and wrinkle. It doesn't exist on the bride of Christ. And by golly, there's a lot of spots and a lot of wrinkles that we need to take care of nowadays. And curriculum and training our kids to be in chaos and confused is not the way to teach your children, period.
That word, Lee... We're allowing the kids to be led down a path that is absolute failure. And dare I say, demonic.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things that are just
absolutely
wrong on every level. Here we nurture and love our children at home. We turn them over to the education system that messes with them.
Yep.
And then we have to be the responsible parents and try to clean that up as they grow.
Yes.
Why? Why would we do that? Why would we allow that to happen?
It's an agenda.
It's an agenda.
And we let them.
Right. And we let them.
And you know, I think the thing is that we have to understand. See, I asked Megan Daly this, or actually Bruce Ross, and several other candidates who sort of jumped around it. You're hitting it head on, which I appreciate as a voter. And that is that when you look at this, these are laws. They're not policies. They're not, they're not, mandates. They are laws passed by the Assembly of the State of California and the Senate. Now I asked Megan Daly, why don't you put forth a referendum to get rid of some of these laws? And I get from Bruce Ross, well, because it'll never get out of committee. But what if you try? And I think that what we need is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Who will go to the people
mm-hmm.
and say what he or she thinks.
Okay, let's
go to
about
the people.
That, Terry. So one of the things that, first of all, it's been so educational, so wonderful going throughout the district. I'm getting a feel, I got a feel right off the bat of how the people feel, of course, lack of representation. But there's a definition to that, and it goes much deeper than, oh, a lack of representation. You know, I got 11 counties in this District 1, and we only have one representative, and they have like 122 in L.A., and you know what? That's all correct, but it's lack of representation, and I could go deeper, and it goes...
Go to the people.
Well, okay, so... What I will, and I'm first of all, I'm not shy. I am not quiet. Ask my mother that as well. She will totally tell you that I am far from quiet. And I will not send you an update of what I've been doing. That's informative, and I appreciate that. But I will send you a plea that says we are going to do this, or this is coming to shoot through the shoot to me, and I need people to help me. And that is the forefront of saying, or that's the forefront of what I would do. And then I'd say, okay, meet me on the let's make a spectacular thing out of this, and let's meet on the steps of
the
Capitol and say, come to the West Steps and help me discuss this and bring it. I heard a conversation of an assembly person that was in the elevator with, and that person was Republican, and the other assembly member that they were with in the elevator in the Capitol was Democrat. And this is when the truckers were going around and around and around the mm-hmm. Capitol, and that the Republican said, did you see all those truckers? It's amazing out there. And she's like, the other one says, yes, but why are they here? It's like, oh, you've got to be kidding. And it's the junk that they're putting through to the truckers. I mean, that's that, and that's a whole nother situation that's not under the facets of the homeless. But what are they doing to our stinking businesses?
Right.
No wonder they're shooing all these people out of California. You put all these, you know, you go into Oregon, and all of a sudden you see truckers with two trailers. And that's been happening a long time in California, that we only have one trailer. It's like, come on, people. It goes back to common sense leadership, and that's what you're going to get with me. Also, let's talk about that, too. Sorry. I've been working with League of California Cities for quite a while in my leadership in Anderson. Yes.
Now, you're still currently on the city council, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes. Next year, I am leaving, period. I would have left the last election, but there was nobody running. And, you know, Anderson is my special place.
Mm-hmm.
It's an oasis. We have done good things, and I don't want to just give my leadership up to anybody that's going to screw it up.
Right.
And we've had changes recently. There's some retirements, key retirements that have happened in the city of Anderson. And it's like, okay, now it's really important. So I'm really starting to put it out there. I actually put it out there for the first time in public that I'm not going to be going back to city council, that we need some key, wonderful, conservative, leaders to step up and go through the election. And, I'm putting it out there on the radio waves now. Okay, but wait, let's go back. League of California Cities. So I was been serving on numerous policy committees, and one I was a chair of. And the chair is the one who leads the meeting. It's not,
yes.
I don't necessarily talk a lot. I just
facilitate and lead it.
Absolutely, facilitate it. And something came forward, and it was about proclaiming a desert, a vegetable desert places in the state of California. And it was like, a vegetable desert. Well, vegetables don't grow in the desert. What's this about? So we dug into it. We, as the committee, dug into the representative and to see what they had to say. Where's this coming from? And you could tell the room was like, huh? What, huh? And it dawned on me, where's the funding for this thing? And they were saying we should, every like three blocks, you should proclaim it a vegetable desert if there's no grocery store that has fresh fruits and vegetables for our children. And it was like, okay, seems honorable enough, but it's weird. Why would you do that? So I finally said, who's funding this? who's sponsoring this bill? And the bill was sponsored, if I said the name of the store, you guys would all know it.
What is it?
You're safe.
Come on.
Whole Foods.
Okay.
And Whole Foods was promoting it. And what does that do? That is using Sacramento at the word go in the way of politics at its best. And I said, and in that light, I made the motion and said, do not support this and vote it down. And we did.
Well, wow. What we're going to do here is we're going to take a break. We're going to hold Melissa over. And I think that we need to.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I get excited when I hear a candidate who actually is saying something rather than platitudes. And I appreciate that a lot, Melissa.
Amen.
Time has come, my friend.
For 551.
Let's get it done.
You betcha.
Up in the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working it and handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance. We're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed. Politicians in the big old cities are running everything. Our way of life may be simple and it's not for everyone. It's a tough state of mind, it's a state of change, it's a state of Jefferson. Sing it with me one time now. State of Jefferson. State number 51.
Magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Maspada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by your friends at the Reading Civic Auditorium. For tickets and show info, visit readingcivic.com and Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlu's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco M Brew.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Now at Turtle Bay Museum, cats and dogs, on display now through September 4th, featuring immersive and interactive exhibits, games, and activities all about cats and dogs. Learn about the science and culture behind our domesticated furry friends, great for all ages. And don't miss Turtle Bay's summer animal shows, outdoor playgrounds, gardens, and more, all at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California. Presented in memoriam by the family of Cheryl Bambauer. Cats and Dogs, the exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Eddie.
Bob Dylan.
Yep.
Bob Dylan. I don't think Bob Dylan would have won on American Idol.
I don't think so. I think a lot of artists.
But his writing was amazing.
Yes.
You know. And just goes to show you, I guess.
Yep.
Maybe we have a future in singing, buddy.
Not me.
I sing in the key of L.
Key of L.
We are here with Melissa Hunt. She's running for supervisor for district. Excuse me, running for assembly.
Assembly.
Oh man, I had supervisor on my mind. I looked at when. Anyway.
Supervisors all over the place.
Anyway, yeah, that was fun. Inside joke. We are going to go to the phones right now. Dick, what say you, sir?
Good morning.
Yeah, before I make my comment, I want Melissa to know if she doesn't win, I want my money back.
I know, sir. I was going to bring that up if you didn't.
Anyway, I went on the air a couple times and mentioned I was helping the Reading Grange sell tickets on this rival. I sold 50 of the 300 tickets. And Fred and I were there last night at the spaghetti dinner to pull the ticket. And a lady who I sold the ticket to won the gun. And I might mention her name, but you also know her too. She's well known. But anyway, I just want to mention, anybody else bought a ticket? You didn't win. Only this one lady did. So that's it. And I bought tickets too, and I didn't win.
And Dick, oh my gosh, those meatballs were so good. I did the drive-thru because I had another function to go to. So I went down there to support him. But oh my gosh, those meatballs were so good.
Yeah, you know, Doug LaMoffa was there with his wife.
I heard, with his wife or
Jill?
Brenda?
With Jill.
Yeah. Jill Keane?
With his wife, yeah.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, and I talked to him. I told him again, I said, you know, of all the elected officials that I know, I see you more than any.
Yep.
Any
he's everywhere.
Brian Dolly never shows up unless he's running for re-election. He never shows up ever.
You know, that's a good point, Dick, because Doug LaMoffa was one of the first people I met that was not on the city council with me, and we became fast friends, and he has been such a great example to me in the way of getting out and meeting people and being there. And by golly, I brought up the idea of representation earlier. And you get out into the district and you find people that are like, they're unhappy with the lack of representation because they don't see their representatives. It's like, how do you represent somebody when you don't go out there and have a relationship with them meet them?
I saw Doug LaMoffa last week at the IGO Summit. He was out there for Jim Gibson's
That's awesome. I was out of town. Awesome.
Uh-huh.
That's
with
great.
With Aaron Ryan and
yes.
Anyway, He was out there then, and I talked to him then. I told him again. I said, I see you more than any other elected official. You show up here a lot. So.
He's a good guy.
Anyway, a lot of people don't disagree what he does, but no representative can do exactly what everybody wants. But
that's right.
For me, I'll vote for him again.
Yep. Amen. I agree.
Yeah, he's everywhere. He really is. In fact, Dick, if you those socks you lost, just ask him what drawer's in.
Okay, I just want people to know that if you bought a ticket from me, you didn't win. You're only this one lady.
All right. Well, thanks for the update, Dick.
Bye, Dick. Have a good day, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Oh, he's too funny.
Now, we were talking about a lot of different things, but I'd like to jump over to the something that you have jurisdiction over in the assembly, and that is a referendum to get rid of these crazy school laws, and their laws, again, not mandates. I want you to expound on that. And being having been a school teacher, I mean, you understand, you know, what these kids need to learn and what it is that needs to be done in that job. So if you could expound on that, that'd be great.
A couple of thoughts. When COVID hit, they put out the mandates, closed down everything, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? In a small town of Anderson, if you close down everything, we're suffering. We've got business owners that are suffering. So when we dealt with it as the city of Anderson, we said no mandates. So just want to put that out there. And then for education purposes, well, it's evident as I speak at fairs, as I meet people at fairs. I've been going to the GOP booths up and down the district to numerous fairs, and it's evident that young families are highly concerned with what they're teaching our kids. And I heard one family out of numerous fairs. I have to get my calendar out to see how many fairs I've been to already. I've heard one family say that I've got to put my kid in a public high school. And I said, the best thing I can tell you is that not everybody sits at a dinner table anymore, but I really encourage people who have their kids, no matter what age, kindergarten through 12th, have a sit-down dinner at night and say, what did you learn? What classes did you have? What did they teach you in those? And you're sifting the kid. If you can volunteer and be in the classroom, that's even better. But when it comes down to it, most everybody said there's co-ops. There's co-ops popping up everywhere. And people are going into – it's like, okay – if I had kids and I had kids in a different, couple of different age groups, it's like, okay, let's, I'm real good at, and it could be anything. I'm real good at math. I'll teach math. And, I didn't say that Melissa was really good at math.
just
an
example.
Yes.
Yes.
And then, another, stay-at-home dad is real good with mechanics. Okay. Bring it on. Let's teach kids how to change oil and all that stuff. There's just different things that we as a community, they used to say it takes a village to raise a kid. Mm-hmm. It's people that have expertise in different areas. You expose them to those different areas and you teach them that way. That's old time. Yeah, it totally is old time. But
it makes you well-rounded.
It does make you well-rounded, but at the same time, until this change is over, that is what we're going to have to do to get our kids out of being subjected to the crap that they're being taught.
We do have a caller. Bruce, what say you?
Just two quick questions for Melissa that are important to me and a lot of people is, how does Melissa stand on getting rid of electronic voting machines, number one, and number two, where does she stand on Mark Baird's lawsuit to allow us to have open carry in the state of California?
I'm a homegrown kid from Shasta County. I'm going to do everything I can to protect the Second Amendment. And I totally agree with what Mark Baird is doing. I think he's amazing. By the way, I think Mark Baird and Melissa would go into – Mark and Melissa to the Capitol would be amazing. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh,
yes,
my
would.
Gosh, that would be
M&M.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. And Dominion, yeah. I mean, they're going to – if they've infiltrated the computer part of Dominion, I agree with them. Get it out of office. Throw it in the dump. It belongs there and start counting like you're supposed to. One day, and ID, period. It's common sense. That's all there is to it.
Amen.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank
you know,
Bruce.
Those are great points. And next week, I believe we're having Richard Gallardo on.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be – he to counteract a lot of those things and to – he's got a really good, workable, understandable plan. I think that he's had some things and done some research that really get into the bottom line of this. In essence, our vote has to be counted, and that's as per the Constitution.
Yeah. Yep.
Of the state
Absolutely.
Of California.
And,
so,
hey, Melissa, with your jurisdiction as being a state representative, wherever you can with the state as far as roadways in the district, can you see if we can get them paved or patched or fixed or something? I mean, we got the counties that need to do their part. We've got the cities that need to do their part. The state also has to do their part. Is there a way to get down there and shake the cage? Because we've got some pretty gnarly roads around here throughout the district. So we need to get those addressed. And that's a safety issue. I mean, and I get, a lot of them are torn up because they haven't been maintained. But is there a way for you as a state representative to go down there and to talk to them and get the state highways repaired so that we are on top of it for safety?
Of course. Absolutely. You speak up. I would like to get more details from you about that.
Okay.
And specifically, I mean, I would like to know where they are.
Okay, exactly.
Because, yeah, there's definitely bad ones out there.
Yeah.
Anderson does theirs like once a year. Okay, let's take this area and redoes it.
Mm-hmm.
It brings youth back to it.
Yep.
Not a matter of, okay, well, we'll deal with it when it's worn out. No, let's be proactive.
Yeah.
And that is what I've been raised on in Anderson. We have always been proactive. Let's go after it before it's a need.
Well, I wish Reading would try to do that because there are some nasty streets and roads within the city of Reading.
Okay, so that brings something to my mind that has been spoken about in a couple of different areas that I've had conversations in. And we have, in Anderson, have lost our assistant city manager and our city manager to retirement. Family issues was one, and the other one is it's retirement time for her. And she's newlywed, and she's going off to enjoy being married and, you know, travel the United States. So what do you do when you're hiring? If you want a conservative area, you hire conservative staff.
Yeah.
Yes, we vote in our electeds, but if you vote in conservative elected, they're going to be looking for elected or staff that is conservative as well. And we have been very blessed in the city of Anderson to have two, but when it comes down to it, it's the police chief as well. But we've had conservative leaders. And I'm telling you, when you get a new person on council at the city council level, who is the one who forms the thought process of that council member as a newbie? Mm-hmm. Yes, they've got their own ingrown things of how they were raised. But if you've got a liberal city manager, that liberalism is mm-hmm. going to influence that new conservative city council member.
Right.
So that's my biggest thing is teaching other council members that when you have a staff change, if you don't like the way your city's being run, you need to hire conservative people.
Yes.
I think that there, you know, in a lot of cases, when we look at that, even with non-elected or non-partisan mm-hmm. offices, there is no such thing.
Everything is partisan.
Yeah, everything is. I mean, if you're a Democrat, you believe in what the Democrats believe. If you're a Republican, same thing. So when you do hire these people, as you said, which is very, very good, you hire them, you should find out what they believe.
Yeah.
And so there is no nonpartisan thing here.
So think about Sacramento and all that staff.
Your staff. Who are they going to be?
Yes, exactly. So I'm already praying about my staff, is that the Lord would prepare them for coming in and the right people would become available to be hired and all that good stuff.
We know some staffers. I know them very, very, very personally.
Mm-hmm.
And a new hire. And what she told me was, all we're doing as staffers is amending laws, amending the Constitution, amending. That's all we're doing. That's at the Capitol. And that's all she's been doing. She said that's what because again, you know, when you look at the legislative body, we've talked about a great red wave, and you look at the Senate, well, it was 24-16, not all that long ago, 24 Democrats, 16 Republicans. And now with the great red wave, we have 32 Democrats in the Senate and 8 Republicans, and that's of yesterday. And in the Assembly, we have 62 Democrats and 18 Republicans. That means Newsom can push through anything he wants.
Yep.
Now, the problem with the Assembly, which I'm excited about people like yourself, and the reason I am, is the fact that in the Assembly, we have 4 of those 18 that generally vote with the Democrats. So it's really, you know, just 14. We have Kevin Cry on the line. Kevin, what say you, sir?
Hey, Terry, how you doing? How you doing, Wynn?
Good.
Doing good, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Melissa, I had a quick question. Do you and the other candidates, do you guys have a scheduled debate yet?
We have some with the GOP. There's a couple of different groups of the GOP that there's 2 different ones that are being sifted. And I can't necessarily say they're debates. They're more
forums.
Yeah.
More forums. Okay. Are those on your website?
No.
Well, not all the dates have been solidified yet, right?
I believe that's correct.
I think the California Assembly, at least in Shasta County, they've got theirs set, I think.
And I think that they are pretty much the leader
the 21st, I think
in
is.
The way yeah. of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
The 21st of what? September?
September, I think.
Okay.
I could be wrong.
So there's another one. The
7th.
SCRA Forum is September 7th.
That's them.
And then there is, let me think. I'm looking at my calendar. 1 second. I got to figure out which day. Oh, the GOP debate. They called it a debate on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd.
Okay.
So that's the two I've got.
Now, isn't that one done also with the Senate? It's the Assembly and the Senate, I think, that day on the 23rd?
I believe you're right. There might be another office, three offices.
No, I think there are only going to be the two offices.
Okay, and I would take your word for it.
Yeah, there would be the only two offices on the 23rd, and that's in the works right now.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, hey, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you know, I think that one of the things that when we talk about forums and debates, what would you prefer? Would you prefer a debate or would you prefer a forum as a candidate?
So let me tell you my experience from when I was appointed. When I was appointed in Anderson, it was 2 years before my election of 08. So this was January of 07. Running for city council caught me by surprise. And I put my name in, I got references, I am a professional person. I knew how to dress, I knew how to do paperwork, and I put my best foot forward. When I hate to admit this in public, but when the question was asked, what's your vision for downtown? And my attitude is, first of all, I know where downtown Reading is by far. They're born and raised and coming in and out. But I was in classroom before about a year before I ran or put my name in for being appointed. And my first thought in my head was, oh, my gosh, where's downtown Anderson? And it's along the 273 and the railroad, West Center Street. And when you have a debate, somebody can always work off of your answer. And I worked off of somebody else's answer. And so I don't know, I don't care how they do it, but if you do it all in one time in one room, the other people will hear your answers. This is the hardest part. It was easy to do running a campaign in Anderson because it was easy to hide my cards because I've become a poker player and I don't let anybody see my cards. As a candidate, it's really hard to hide your cards because if you're out there for an audience, you're going to have somebody that you're running with going to be there too, and they're going to hear what you're doing. I hate that part of it, but that is the truth. So I heard.
So you like the debates?
I like the debates. Well, I don't necessarily like the debates. Somebody brought up a suggestion that they bring somebody into a room and the group that's questioning them. Question them, and then excuse that person. The next person come in. Am I right?
That's what happened.
We did that
for district supervisors.
That's what we did.
Oh, okay.
Blueprint filmed that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was great.
Actually done in Cottonwood.
It was done in Cottonwood. Yeah,
and awesome
that was great because then your each candidate cannot hear the other candidate.
Exactly.
They have to come up with the raw material. They can't just say, "Oh, cheat off the others, left, right, center."
Yep. You're right.
I know there was like a panel of five. The panel of five would ask each candidate a question.
Yep.
And if there's an audience there, that's great. They can hear all of them.
Yeah.
Do a debate, and let's say you have 10 questions, I think that the candidate should have the first five given to them so they know what those questions are. Then two of them should be a candidate asking another candidate a question. Okay. And then the last three should be impromptu questions that nobody gets, but I like the idea of a candidate asking another candidate a question and say they have a minute to answer and you've got a 30-second rebut, okay? Or giving them a little time to where they have maybe 2 minutes in their bank of time.
Mm-hmm.
They've got like 2 minutes, and then with that 2 minutes, you could say, well, I want to use 30 seconds of my 2 minutes.
Well, and that's when it goes from a forum to a debate.
And I think that, that's the way to do it. But I like the idea if it's 10 questions, they get five to begin with, two they ask each other questions, which would be really – there's no dance around that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last three would be questions that they didn't know what were going to be asked of them. And have that little bank, that two-minute bank,
mm-hmm.
to where you can say, okay, how much time do I have left in my two-minute bank to respond to this?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get 30 seconds or 15 or whatever you think, and you have that bank. But I think we need to do debates in a forum in which we really get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
I think you'd be really good at that.
The debates, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And I've worked hard at having a good name. I would be disowned by my local family if anything happened, and that was ingrained in me at a very young age all the way through life. And my dad was a business owner. The business is still running even though dad's gone. And a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches.
Period. Well, I love the idea that you were born and raised here. I mean, absolutely. That's the thing. See, so folks, that's the idea. If you have somebody, there's a lot of people running for this office that just got here.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
And I'm just saying that, you know, if you have somebody who understands the North State, who understands what happens in Butte County, Tama County, Siskiyou County, Modoc County, et cetera, and you have somebody who's lived here and understands that, to me, that means a lot.
Oh, it means everything.
Because they understand the way of life here. They understand what we want here. And I don't care who you are, but if you've been here for 4 or 5 years, you don't know.
Right.
That's why you hear platitudes from most of these candidates who have been here just a short period of time. We have about 5 minutes left, so I'm going to just give the floor to you, Melissa,
okay.
and before we do get off, make sure that I'll just go ahead and let you know when there's like two okay. minutes or a minute, and then let us know how people can donate to you, where your website is, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you. Oh, website. I should have written that one down. Oh, I hope I get it right. So the only thing that we really haven't hit on that I would like to hit on is forest management. It's definitely needed.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of debris on the bottom of the forest floors that need to be burned off. I was with my aunt and uncle yesterday, and they are in Sonora. And my grandparents lived all my growing up years in Grass Valley, so I used to go down Grass Valley all the time. And that was all the time when Grandpa was retired. But when Grandpa was a kid, they were shepherds. And we had part of Beale Air Force Base and part of Donner Summit area, Soda Springs. And Grandpa would run up there and run sheep, and before they left for the season, they would burn it off. They would set the camp on fire and let the weeds burn off so it would bring up grass for the new year, when they brought the sheep back up the next season. And we have neglected to do that, and it will take many years to get back to a place where our forests are safe for us. But at this point in time, they are not safe. So we have to get logging back in, going in the mountain regions. And we're way behind, but we've got to start somewhere, period. I would be highly honored if people would consider donating to my run. I hate this part of it, and it's good to do it on radio because I don't have to look at you or call you, and I know you and all this stuff. But
it's necessary.
Unfortunately, it is necessary. Yep. But the reason I need funds is because I cannot go to every farm that is every 100 acres up in the high region of our district, and we have to get mailers out, and we have to get radio commercials out or ads out, and that's what's going to help me pay. That's what the money's going to go to is it for this campaign. So I even fumble talking about this. I hate it. But I would be honored, and let me think. Vote Melissa Hunt is my website. And there's a QR code on the website. I do need information when you put your credit card in or whatever, but I need to know if you're retired or where you work, and I need to know your employer. That is all state required stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't put that there, we have to hunt you down, and it just takes up time and all that. Now, my treasurer is in Granite Bay, and that's not my address. Of course, my address is in Anderson. What else do I need, guys?
Well, now, what about your campaign email?
Yeah.
Oh, Melissa Hunt. Whoops, that's...
Yeah, that's right.
Is it?
MelissaHuntForAssembly@gmail.com.
Thank you.
@gmail.com.
I started to use my real estate one. Yeah. MelissaHuntForAssembly, right, @gmail. Yes. Yes. Right. As a matter of fact, I cannot do this job without anybody else. I have to know where you work, where you live, what things are just are in your life to help sponsor or support or represent you. So vote Melissa Hunt, Assembly for 2024. Blessings and thank you so much.
You bet. This has been Melissa Hunt, and Melissa, we will have you back on again. I want to hear about water. I want to hear about the forest, all that good stuff. We will invite all the other candidates on, but here's the deal. If they want to come on, they can, and the ones that will, and the ones that won't, won't. So the ones that want to keep coming on, we'll have them come on. We'll also do some podcasts that people will be able to get locally and share with the world as they can share this archive.